Hi, Christina.
Yes.
Christina, my name is John, and I'm calling from a recorded line. I'm following up on a request for information about the Roundup lawsuit. Were you or someone you know diagnosed with a cancer after using the popular weed killer product Roundup?
Yes, but I don't have any proof.
Oh, it's okay. The law firms, if we're talking about, if you're referring to proof that you use Roundup, that's not necessary. We can do an attestation. However, we do need proof of a medical diagnosis. Was it you that was diagnosed with a cancer, or was it a loved one or someone you know?
Was my husband. He was diagnosed with Burkitt's lymphoma.
What type of Burkitt's?
Burkitt.
Okay, is he still with us today?
No, he was diagnosed and died 4 months later.
I'm sorry to hear that. And what year was the diagnosis?
He was diagnosed in September of 2020,
September 2020. Okay, and then he
September
passed.
4th.
Okay, September 4th. I'm sorry to hear that. And then he passed like a few months later.
January 4th,
January
2021.
fourth. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, and it was Burkitt's lymphoma.
Yes.
Okay, that is a type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and
Correct.
the because you're he was legally married to you at the time of his passing.
Yes, he was.
Okay, just to confirm, then you would be considered next of kin, and you
Yes.
as a spouse and next of kin have a legal right to file a claim. But before we go and file the claim, I number one, I have to ask you, did you already get an attorney to assist you with filing a claim?
Now I had an attorney that I interviewed with for wrongful death over the hospital, but they said with the COVID protections that the medical field was giving that they would not proceed, but it was anything to do with whatever caused his cancer.
Okay. The law firms we work with would consider representing you, meaning help you file a claim for compensation and from the makers of Roundup, because the lawsuit is based on scientific evidence that links non-Hodgkin's lymphoma to the chemical found in Roundup. And we don't the law firm doesn't require proof of usage, but they do require an attestation, a confirmation, a verbal confirmation of how a description of how they used it. So I'd ask you to answer a question on behalf of your late husband. How long did he use Roundup? When did he start using it? When did he stop use it? What did he use it for? Was it home or was it work? Could he describe where he applied the product? Like for example, like the number of years, that's an estimate. Like people will give me an estimate of when they started using Roundup, when they stopped. And when we're talking about most people use it at home, but some people use it for work purposes, like they're in the farming occupation of some sort. Or they could be like I've had a golf maintenance supervisor. So he's basically a golf course maintenance and he had used it at the product that was in a works environment. I do ask questions whether or not the person has receipts, if they could provide evidence of a purchase, but it's not required. With that explanation, would you be interested in participating in this lawsuit and having an attorney help you with filing a claim?
Possibly.
Okay. What would be holding you back? Because I don't want to the intake ta the applic the intake or this interview takes roughly about 30 minutes, and I'd hate to have you go through 30 minutes and then because what you can expect is if you meet the criteria, I'd send you two forms to sign. One is the authorization for legal representation. There's by the way, I should explain to you that the law firms would take your case with no upfront costs. There's no advance fees to pay. The law firm takes these cases on a contingency basis. That means that they get paid contingent on successfully getting you compensated for damages. If they're not successful, you wouldn't owe the firm anything. If they are successful, the firm gets 40% of the recovery and then you keep 60%. That's standard for a personal injury or mass tort lawsuit.
Right.
And then the other form to sign would be the authorization to release medical records. With that explanation, if you did meet the criteria, would you sign the legal agreement and the authorization to release medical records?
What is the success rate of your attorneys?
That is a good question. I don't have I don't have actually, I couldn't even possibly answer that question. Here's what I can tell you is that we're talking about a very popular product that was marketed and sold and used by consumers over a very long period of time. So the sheer number of people that are filing claims for damages is in the thousands, if not tens of thousands. I do know that roughly in the year 2020, during the pandemic, the makers of this product had settled some claims, a portion of those claims, for a very large amount of money, and they're not finished, and there's more claims being filed. So if you did meet the criteria and the law firm did agree to take your case, they would help you file a recent claim. I couldn't answer to success, but I can probably interpret it as like, there's no harm as long as you meet the criteria. There's no harm in requesting a consideration of compensation for damages.
And how do you meet the criteria?
Well, that part is where I do the interview. One is an affirmation that a verbal affirmation, confirmation that the person injured was diagnosed with a what they refer to as a signature. I'm sorry, a very specific type of injury. In this case, it's non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And then two is they do have to describe how they used it.
Okay.
Right, you'd like to see if you meet the criteria?
Yes.
And can you confirm you did not already get an attorney to assist you with filing a claim? Is that right?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not retain any attorney.
Okay. And are you willing to affirm under penalty that you have not signed legal documents with another law firm?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know you did speak to another firm, but you didn't sign any legal agreement. Is that right?
And it wasn't against Roundup, correct?
Okay. All right. And then regrettably, your loved one, which would have been your late husband, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
Yes.
It was the subtype was Burkitt lymphoma. And
Correct.
did he have more than one diagnosis?
No, his death certificate says septicemia
Okay.
related to Burkitt's lymphoma. Basically, when you have Burkitt's lymphoma, the drugs are so carcinogenic that they cause other injuries.
Yes, I understand. You don't
And
have to go any further. I do
yeah.
understand. Okay. All right. And regrettably, as he had passed in 2021. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma on September 4th, 2020.
Yes, that's the day that we went in for the biopsy and they diagnosed him with cancer. And then they did a further biopsy and it was diagnosed as Burkitt's lymphoma.
Okay, got it. Okay. And do you know how your husband used the product Roundup? Was it in a home setting or work setting?
It was at home. He was an avid yard person.
Okay, good, good. And then can you provide me the address of where you lived and where he would have applied it at his home?
Yes, 5155 Springfield Court,
And it's
Westerville, Ohio.
okay, Westerville. Okay, I found it 43081.
Yes.
Okay, I did do a search, so there would have been a home use, and it was
Yes.
at 5155 Springfield Court,
Yes.
Westerville. I'm typing this in, Ohio 43081. All right, this next question has to do with referrals. Do you know it's a popular product? Do you know anybody else that has used Roundup and also was also later diagnosed with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
No, I do not.
It's okay. All right, thank you. And at the time your husband was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, that would have been in September 2020, was he over the age of 18 but under the age of 80?
Yes.
Okay. And then this is an odd question. It's a new one. I don't know why, but it's asking, could you provide a birth certificate if the law firm requested it?
I don't know if I have his birth certificate.
Okay.
I
Would you
could
be able to?
look, but I'm not sure if I have it.
And if not, generally the county that a person was born in would be able to have birth records, vitality records. Would that be something you'd be willing to provide or research if necessary?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put yes for this response. All right, now to the best of your knowledge, what is the number of years you would approximate your husband had used Roundup? This is a, your
let's see.
Best...
We met in 2006. He was in his 50s. He'd probably been using it for 20 years, I would say.
If you can personally attest, because you're a spouse and you lived together beginning in around 2006, and if he was diagnosed in 2020, that's a period of 14 years. So
yes.
Would you be willing to, you could attest that he had used the product over the last 14, or 14 years?
He probably used it, I would say 12 years, because he stopped using it when all the cancer scare came out.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Because part of the intake is, to the best of your knowledge, in putting an estimate, approximate date of when he started and when he stopped using the product. And that first question I asked was, how many years did your late husband spray Roundup? That was an approximate number, and that number of mm-hmm. year. And we said about 12 years, approximately.
Yes.
Okay.
But from when I met him, yes.
All right. And then have you sprayed Roundup? Pardon me. Do you know if your late husband sprayed Roundup for at least 10 days during that 12-year period?
Like 10 days in a row?
No, just 10 days altogether.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
All right. And then am I speaking to you on a landline, or is this a smartphone?
This is a smartphone.
Okay. And you would be the client of the law firm. Are you a citizen of the United States?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. Now, did your husband have any of these illnesses prior to his diagnosis? Did he have HIV or AIDS, autoimmune disease, hepatitis C, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, lupus, Epstein-Barr, or hepatitis B?
No.
Okay. Was he ever an organ donor, organ transplant? Did he ever get an organ transplant, I should say? I'm sorry.
No, he did not.
Thank you. All right. And then, did he ever need chemotherapy for a cancer treatment other than not his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis?
No, he was very healthy.
Okay. And then was there any history of cancer in his family?
Not that I know of.
Okay, we'll put no. And then, of course, we know the injury, which is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, in particular Burkitt lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now I'll be gathering your husband's name information. So can we start with the spelling of his first name?
G-A-R-Y.
Okay, so it's Gary. Okay, and his
uh-huh.
middle initial?
L.
Okay, and the last name?
Carabin.
He
is in Charles. Yes.
A-R-A-B-I-N?
A. Yes.
Okay. I'll repeat it just to be certain. It's C as in Charles, A as in Apple, R as in Roger, A as in Apple, B as in Boy, I as in India, N as in Nancy?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Does he have a suffix, like a junior, senior, first, second, or third?
No, he does not.
Okay. And his gender is male?
Yes.
And he was married at the time of his passing?
Yes,
that was
we were married.
Course. Yes, got it. Thank you. All right. Now, the law firm does, if you meet the criteria, which I think you do, I mentioned to you that I'd have you sign the legal agreement that authorizes the law firm to represent you. And then secondly, an authorization to release medical records. That would be done today on this call. That's assuming you meet the criteria. And it would seem like we're finished. Like, okay, I talked to this guy, did the interview, and I signed legal agreements. It would seem as though we're finished, but we're not. There's one final step that'll happen between the next, assuming you sign today, sometime between the next 2 to 3 days, there'll be a case verification call. Unless they're backed up, it could take up to 2 weeks. But the law firm would want to speak to you to do a quick case verification. It only takes a minute or two. And what the attorneys want to do is just confirm that your husband did use Roundup and he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they're going to want a verbal authorization to use the authorization to release medical records to submit that on your behalf. That's called a case verification. What I'm leading at is, on that authorization to release medical records, we do need to put your husband's Social Security next to his name. So when it goes to the hospital or the doctor, they know it's the right person. Could you provide me his Social Security number?
Right now?
Yes.
Yes, I could.
Okay. And if you're reluctant, I'll tell you what, I can volunteer just the last four digits.
Okay, it's 9143.
Okay, I can tell you feel more comfortable, at least the last four. Okay, so I put,
Yeah.
it'll show XXX and then say 9143. That should be enough. And then
Okay.
your husband's date of birth, please.
10/10/1951.
1951. Okay, let me confirm. So we've confirmed is your injured party, which is your late husband, first and last name. We've confirmed the spelling and of both. The last four is 9143. Date of birth is October 10th, 1951.
Yes.
Okay. Now this question: how did you first learn that your husband may have developed cancer from an exposure to Roundup? How did you learn that? Did you know at the time he was diagnosed, or was it more recently, like through television or social media advertising, online advertising?
Well, Burkitt's lymphoma is pretty rare, so when we got the diagnosis, I researched it. It's very odd because most of the diagnosed people are like in Africa, and then I started researching more, and then of course I would see ads on TV, like if you have been diagnosed with this, if you have used Roundup, if you've
Okay.
taken Zantac,
Okay. So
etc.
I'm hearing that you probably learned of a connection through TV and online advertising.
Our online research.
Online research, okay. And then this all occurred around the time that he was diagnosed.
Yes, right after he
Okay.
was diagnosed, because I'm a nurse and I'd never heard of Burkitt's lymphoma.
Oh, I see. The medical background, that piqued your curiosity. Number one is you already went to school for nursing, so I can understand. And second is
Yes.
you're going to want to know why. All
Yes.
right. So I put online research is how you first learned of a connection. And then it's going to ask for a date, approximate date of that connection. And I'm going to put the same day as the diagnosis, just as approximate date of when you
That's
made the
fair,
connection. Would
yes.
that be okay? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then at the time of your husband's injury, that's the diagnosis, can you provide me his height and his weight, please?
When he was first diagnosed, he was 6'1", and I'd say he probably weighed about 205 because he had been ill, and they just kept testing him for COVID, and he was losing weight because he couldn't eat.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I know what you're going through, or went through. I'm sorry. Okay. So his height was 6 feet 1 inches, and his weight was roughly 205. And of course, I know he probably lost weight rapidly because of his condition. I'm
I
sorry.
think he weighed about 155 when he died.
Oh, I'm sorry. And thank you
Got a
for having the
feeding
strength
tube.
to go through this and endure these questions that I have for you.
That's okay.
As I mentioned to you, if you do meet the criteria and you sign the forms, the legal agreement as well as the authorization, anything you sign will be copies will be sent to your email. I do have an email address on record. Is it CCCARABIN number 5 at Yahoo?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then for the phone number, you've already confirmed this is a smartphone, 740-438-8063. As I
Yes.
mentioned to you, the law firm would like to speak to you to do the case verification call. Only a minute of your time to confirm that he used Roundup and he was diagnosed, and it's okay to submit the authorization to release medical records. When is the best time that you can be reached by the firm? Would that be morning, afternoon, or evening?
Probably morning.
Morning. Okay, very good. And of course, now it's going to be asking for your information, spouse's name. I never caught your name. It's Christina.
Yes,
Is that spelled?
Christina.
Okay, thank you. And then same last name.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And the phone number that you can reach, 740-438
Eight.
8063. With me here. I'm just copying and pasting this information. Oh, and I should say, filing this claim as a spouse. When your husband passed, was there a will or a trust in place?
It was a will.
There was a will? Okay. And are you the executor of that will or the
Yes,
trust?
and
Okay.
sole beneficiary.
Sole benefit. Okay, very good. And is that estate still open?
No.
It's been closed. It's been executed. Okay.
Yeah.
And you are the spouse and also considered next of kin. And then you do have the authority to sign on behalf of your late husband.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. Bear with me. I'm sorry for the awkward silence.
That's okay.
Okay. Relationship to signer, that's you, a spouse. Let me just go back and double check my work. Spouse. Do you have the authority to sign? Estate was open, yes, but it's been closed. And it was a will. Okay, very good. Okay. All right. And then, okay, next question is, his date of passing was January 4th, 2021?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then now it is Christina Carabin. Christina, do you have a middle initial?
C.
C as in Christine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then do you have a suffix to your name, junior, senior, first, second, or third?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. And your gender is female?
Correct.
And have you remarried since your late husband's passing?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you're considered widowed?
Yes.
Okay. And relation to injured a spouse. And then can I get the last four of your social, please? Okay.
5971.
5971. Okay. And then your date of birth, please?
1862.
Okay, thank you. All right, January 8th, 1962?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Bear with me here. I'm just double checking my work. Okay, and then for email address, I already captured that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then are you able to provide any documentation to show your relationship with your spouse, for example, like a marriage certificate, perhaps a death certificate?
I have both.
You both? Okay, very good. And government-issued IDs. And do you have a copy of the will if the law firm needed it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, very good. So we can say, yes, you do have official documents to show your power of attorney, or your next of kin. You do have a copy of the will. You do have a copy of the death certificate. And all of these documents can support that you are a survivor of your husband's estate.
Correct.
All right. Now, the question you had is you asked me earlier, it's like, well, how do I prove this? Well, here's the verbal confirmation of usage. So this is, it's not followed by any physical evidence, but I do need to ask you, how many times per year do you believe that your husband used Roundup, approximately? Your best guess, how many times per year?
How many times per year?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Probably started in March. And then he would use it weekly until probably October when we had to start raking. March, April, May, June, July, August. He probably used it about 7 months out of the year.
Okay.
Probably 28 times.
Okay.
Because he would do yard work weekly.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So 28 times within the year. And did he spray Roundup for at least one full year before his diagnosis?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And then what do you think is the approximate date that he started using Roundup? This goes back to 2006, I think we said?
Well, that's when I met him, in July of 2006.
Okay. Do you remember the day by any chance?
No, I don't.
It's okay. What I'll do is I'll put July 1st, 2006 is the approximate date he started using Roundup. And then when do you think is the approximate date he stopped using Roundup? Would that have been right around his diagnosis?
No, it would have been before his diagnosis because I didn't want it around because of the grandchildren.
Okay, got it. Okay. Do you have a date you could put approximately?
It would probably be like 2019.
Okay.
I think that's when we started seeing the commercials for it. And
Okay.
All the advertisements.
And do you remember the month by any chance?
I do not.
Okay, that's all right. Can I use, like, let's see. It was 2019. Can I say 1 year from his diagnosis date? So I could use, like, September 4th, 2019 as the approximate
date
he stopped?
Yeah, I think you could, yeah.
Okay, all right. And then why did you stop using Roundup? That, I think you already answered
because
of
all the because of all the advertisements we saw.
Okay, very good. Negative publicity.
Yes.
Okay. Negative publicity indicating product can be associated with cancer. Okay. And then you already answered this question, which is when was it applied? And it was applied seasonally.
Yes.
And then how was it applied? Did he use a hand sprayer, a backpack, or a tractor with hoses?
Hand sprayer.
That's right. Okay. And do you recall if he used any protective gear when applying Roundup?
He probably had gloves on.
Okay. Probably gloves. Okay. And where did he apply it at home, and how big of an area was it applied? So we know he used it at home. Like, for example, did he use it in the front yard, backyard?
He used it in the front and the back in the beds, the flower beds,
okay.
The mulch beds.
Applied at home, front and backyards, including flower beds. And what's your best estimate for the size of area that it was applied?
Let's see. Probably across the front of the house would probably have been about 30 feet.
Okay.
And the sides, probably 20 feet, so 50, 70. And then the back would be the same, probably about 100 square feet.
About 100 square feet? Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, roughly.
That's right. It's okay. I put approximate. Okay, and here's the response that I typed for this question. Where did you apply it, and how big of an area was it applied? I applied at home, front and backyards, including flower beds, covering an area approximately 100 square feet.
Correct.
Okay, and then we said that this was all used at the at a home residence in Ohio, so it's in the state of Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, and it was in a residential setting?
Correct.
And he was directly exposed to the product from because of home yard maintenance.
Yes, but I think we need to back up because
Sure.
We moved in 2017,
okay.
In December of 2017.
Okay.
So he was not using it after 2017. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. Okay. So this I'm going to say September 4th, 2017. Is the approximate year that he stopped. And so after you moved, so you were there at that residence from 2006 to 2017
in December.
Okay, okay, that's a good long period of time. Okay. And then when the new location, did you use Roundup at the new location?
No, we did not.
Okay. All right. And so could we say that the main reason for stopping the usage was because of change of address that no longer needed home maintenance, yard maintenance?
No, we stopped using it because of the negative publicity.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. And then a I get it. Okay. Directly exposed. Going back to the question, how was he first exposed to Roundup? It was directly exposed from home yard maintenance.
Yes.
Okay. And it was direct. He did personally spray it. And I'm assuming
yes.
He was personally present during the application of Roundup 100% of the time.
Yes, I never used it.
Okay. And then how many exposures would you guess that your husband had over his lifetime to the product, to Roundup?
Over his lifetime?
Yeah.
I would have no idea. Because I said, I only met him in 2006, but he was already using it.
Okay. I'm going to guess if I just look at the math, if he had used it for 12 years and roughly about 20 times for each year, he's well over a couple hundred times. And
oh, yes.
Would you say safely 200 more, 200 times or more?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's fine. And again, that is in response to a question over how many exposures or how many times did he use it in his lifetime. So easily 200 is the response we put. Okay. Do you live near a water well, or was that house near a water well?
No.
And I'm assuming you don't get your water from a well?
No.
Do you know if he was ever exposed to any other herbicide or benzene or Agent Orange?
I do not believe he was, no.
Okay. And then, do you know what type of Roundup was used? Was it the concentrate or was it the premix formulas?
Premix formula.
Premix, okay. And do you recall where he may have purchased Roundup and when he may have last purchased the product?
He probably got it at a store like a Home Depot or an Ace Hardware.
Okay. And I imagine you couldn't recall when he last purchased it?
No.
Okay. Okay, so for this question, when and where was the Roundup purchased? The response was likely purchased from the Home Depot or Ace Hardware, but unsure when last purchased.
Yes.
Okay. And describe what purchase information you have or can obtain. Could you provide, and I think I already know the answer, but I still need to ask, could you provide any store receipts or credit card receipts or any photographic or videographic evidence of a purchase?
No.
That's okay. And then do you happen to have any Roundup in your possession?
No, I do not.
Okay, that's all right. Do you know if your husband smoked?
He did not.
Okay.
He had been a former smoker, but he had quit like 25 years before I met him.
Okay. Do you know, did he ever suggest to you or indicate to you how many years he smoked when he did smoke?
He probably smoked for about 15 years, maybe.
15 years? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was he employed at the time? Was he employed when he was diagnosed?
He was retired and working at a golf course.
He was, okay. So he was retired. Did he miss any work? He was semi-retired, I should say, right?
He retired fully, and then he just worked at the golf course to get free golf.
Oh, he did? Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yes, and he did have to quit working there when he got ill.
And would you consider that, like, because the question actually relates to whether or not, if he was working, did he lose any time from work because of treatment? And because that would be part of the compensation for damages, because somebody could say, hey, I lost, you know, wages or earnings, the potential to earn, make a wage or earnings because of the diagnosis and subsequent treatment.
He had the test September 4th. And he had stopped working at the golf course in August because he just couldn't do it.
Okay.
He was too sick.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He didn't really work for financial reasons. Would that be...
No, correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
So could we say he was retired, so he wasn't working at the time he was employed, and he didn't lose time from work because of his treatment? Would that be accurate to say?
No, because he had to quit that job. I mean, they were paying him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But
all right. And then
he had to stop working because of it.
Okay, so let me do this. I will state that he was employed. What was the name of the employer, that golf course?
New Albany Links.
New Albany Links, okay.
Uh-huh.
I found it. That's 7100 New Albany Links Drive in New Albany, Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And then let me put that in there. And his title there?
I really don't know. Just like general employee. He worked in the pro shop and he did work out. He was a starter.
Probably a golf assistant, club assistant.
I guess you could call that, yeah.
New Albany Links Golf Club. And the address there was 7100 New Albany Links Drive. And we just said he's in a course assistant or assistant.
Yes.
And he did lose time from work. And I imagine that would have been during the treatment period. Actually, that was the specific question. Have you lost any time from work because of surgery or treatment related to your condition? The answer is yes. And then the next question is, could you provide dates you were unable to work? And so could we say how much time do you think you lost work?
Well, he usually worked over there about 3 days a week.
And that was 1 month before his diagnosis?
Yes,
Okay.
August, and then he would have worked through usually November.
So, stopped working approximately August of 2020. And did he ever return back to work? He did not, right?
No,
Okay. I'm
he could
sorry.
not.
Okay, so I believe I'm filling in some additional details based on our conversation. So, employment information at the time he was employed for New Albany Links Golf Club, it was at 7100 New Albany Links. I added part-time assistant because he only worked there a couple of days in the week.
Yes.
Okay, and then. It does ask, has he lost time from work because of treatment? The answer is yes. And stopped working approximately August of 2020 and could not return for health reasons.
Correct.
Okay, good. And then now I can move on to the next question. Has he ever been in the military?
No.
Okay. Has he ever been involved in other, or have you ever been involved in other lawsuits?
No.
Have you ever filed a disability or workman's compensation claim?
No.
Have you ever filed for bankruptcy?
No.
Other than minor traffic offenses, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
My husband?
Yes, correct.
No.
Okay. All right, thank you. I know these are difficult questions, so thank you for being patient through this. All right, now I can move on to questions about his medical treatment, and then that will be the last of our questions, okay?
All
But
right.
there's quite a few other medical questions. Do you recall the name of the doctor that diagnosed his medical condition that rendered the diagnosis non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Dr. Zangmeister.
Zangmeister. Can you spell that for me, please?
Z as in zipper, ANGMEISTER.
Okay. And is he out of Columbus, Ohio?
He is, yes.
Okay. When that diagnosis was made, was that in a hospital setting or was it at his clinic?
It was at the hospital setting.
It was a
He's
hospital
been in
setting.
the ho yeah,
Okay.
hospital.
I found Dr. Jeffrey Zangmeister.
That's him.
That's him? Okay. He also is attributed with his own cancer center. I think it's
Correct.
a Zangmeister Cancer Center. Is that where he got di your husband, late husband was diagnosed or was it at the hospital?
It was at the hospital.
Okay, thank you. And what was the name of the hospital?
Mount Carmel East.
Mount Carmel East. Okay, one second. I'm Googling these. Carmel East Hospital. That's in Columbus?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. As a matter of fact, is it on 6001 East Broad Street in Columbus?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. All right, go back here. Okay, doctor. Let me enter this information, so bear with me here. Dr. Jeffrey, Jeffrey Zangmeister, Zangmeister,
Correct.
MD, oncology. And then for his address, I'm going to use the hospital because that's where the diagnosis was made.
Yes, he had privileges there.
Okay, thank you. And the phone number I'm going to use for Dr. Zangmeister is also going to be the hospital because technically that's where the diagnosis was made, by the doctor, but at the
Correct.
hospital. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Thank you. And then, and was Dr. Zangmeister also responsible or overseeing your husband's treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
No.
No, was it a different treating doctor?
Yes, he had to be transferred because the Zangmeister in Mount Carmel did not have the protocols for Burkitt's lymphoma.
Okay. And
because it was so rare.
It was, yeah. I'm actually learning as we go too about Burkitt's, because again, I talk to so many people, but there's so many types, and you're right, it is rare. I don't get this response very often. I do get a lot of large B cell. Okay, going back to your husband, what was the name of the doctor that treated your husband?
Dr. Bond, B-O-N-D,
okay.
At the James.
Dr. B-O-N-D?
Yes, Bond.
Okay. And where is he located out of?
OSU Hospitals, the James,
okay.
Columbus, Ohio.
OSU Hospital. Would that be Dr. David A. Bond, a hematologist?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Bear with me here. Dr. David A. David Bond, MD, hematology. But the hospital that he was treated at was OSU Hospital.
The James at the OSU Hospital.
The James at OSU
Yes,
Hospital?
It's a cancer hospital. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me narrow down my search. I found it. The James Cancer Hospital. And
correct.
It's part of OSU. It's actually, in other words, another name for it could be OSU James Hospital. And it is 460 West 10th Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, 43210.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Oh, he had excellent care then, I imagine.
No, he did not.
He did not? I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that. You're disappointed? I'm sorry. It's rare,
yeah.
Right? I'm sorry.
Yes.
The James Cancer Hospital, OSU. And Dr. Bond, he's affiliated with the James Cancer Hospital?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right.
And then are we almost finished? I have a support group I go to. On Tuesday evenings.
Very good. Oh, thank you for being patient. I'm almost done. Probably about 15 more minutes. Can you have 15 more minutes to spare?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. How has your husband's diagnosis of lymphoma impacted his life? Well, we already know that question. I'm sorry. Negatively. Important question. Do you have any medical records that in your possession that can confirm the diagnosis of non-Hodgkin lymphoma?
Yes, I have a copy of all of his records from OSU.
Oh, thank you. Very good. And you'd be able to provide that to the law firm. Thank you. Okay. And then do you know when approximate date his cancer treatment started?
Let's see. Came on the 6th. I'm going to say it was probably around the 10th or the 11th of September.
Okay.
Because he was transferred from Mount Carmel to the James.
Okay. We'll say September 10th, 2020.
Okay.
Okay. And then do you know what type of treatment your husband received? Did he have a stem cell transplant?
He did not have a stem cell transplant, no.
But he probably had chemotherapy and immunotherapy?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Any radiation therapy?
No, we had not started radiation.
Okay. Did he have any surgery to remove any cancerous parts in the body?
Oh, no. It was too spread.
Okay.
No.
It was just chemotherapy. Okay. All right. And then, all right, we are getting close to wrapping up of just two more things. What is your current address for any written correspondence to send to you?
8909.
Okay.
Great. Grate.
Mm-hmm.
Park Square.
That's New Albany.
New Albany.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an apartment or a house?
It's a house.
Okay. So there's no unit number?
Oh, no. Huh?
Okay. Just to confirm, 8909 Great Park Square, and that's New Albany, 43054?
Correct.
Okay. You do meet the criteria. The law firm is interested in speaking to you. In a few moments, I will send you a text message with a link to those forms. That'll be the authorization for legal representation. Remember, contingency basis. They will take your case. No upfront costs. They only get paid if they're successful in recovering damages for you. If they're not successful, you don't owe them anything.
Okay.
The law firm does request an emergency contact in case something unfortunate happens to you. This ensures that they can continue your case for the loved ones. Typically, they only contact your emergency contact if they can't reach you for an extended period of time. And this does help prevent disruptions in your case. Who would you like to list as your emergency contact, and does that person live with you?
It would be my daughter. No, she does not live with me.
Okay, daughter. And her name?
Amy, A-M-Y.
Okay, same last name, Carabin?
No, it's Smock.
Okay.
She's married. S-M is in Michael, O-C-K.
Okay, bear with me here just 1 second. I'm sorry. A-M-Y-S-M-O?
C-K.
C-K, thank you. All right, and her phone number?
740-438-8054.
Okay, thank you. Amy Smock, S-M-O-C-K, and A-M-Y is Amy. Phone number is 740-438-8054.
Yes.
And do we have permission to contact her if necessary?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. Before I send the forms for signing, have you ever done DocuSign before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Once you and I finish the signing, you and I are done, but don't forget that there is that final step, the case verification with the law firm. They really won't work on your case until they hear from you, so it's really important. Before I go and send the firms, I'm going to send you the forms. I just want to confirm quickly, you're filing a claim on behalf of your late husband, Gary Carabin. We confirmed the spelling of his first and his last name, his date of birth, 10-10-1951, last four, 9143. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma September 4th, 2020. You are filing a claim on his behalf as a next of kin, surviving spouse. I've got your name, Christina Carabin. Confirm the spelling of your first name, last name, last four of your social, 5971. Your date of birth, January 8th, 1962. Interesting, it's asking for your height and weight as well. I don't know why.
5'3".
Okay, thank you.
127.
127, got that. Okay. I've got your email address confirmed. We confirmed your phone number. We've got everything. Looks good. For the James Cancer Hospital, I'm using the address for the OSU James Hospital, 460 West 10th Avenue, and the phone number I found on the internet. I believe that would be okay.
Yes, it's a large hospital.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to check my work, and if everything looks good, I'll be sending you a text message in a few seconds. Okay, by now you should have received a text message with a link to DocuSign. And when you get that link, you want to click on it, and I'll walk you through it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've got a place to go. I'm going to normally I would send you this text after you finish signing, but I'm going to start sending it in a moment. But you click on that link, and then you'll have to agree to SMS messages. And
yep.
then you'll see the next message is, please review and act on these documents. You'll see my name below it, John Maurer. I'm the intake specialist. I'm not the attorney, as you probably figured out. I'm the person that does the interview to see if you meet the criteria. Below
yes.
my name, you'll see a checkmark box, a box to checkmark, and that'll go next to agreeing to electronic records and signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll follow the yellow navigation buttons beginning with start, which will take you to the first place on the page that requires a signature or initial.
Yes, I see that.
And then you'll see the legal agreement at no cost for legal representation, no upfront costs, contingency. If they're successful, they get paid. If they're not successful, nobody gets paid. If they're successful, you get 60%. The law firm gets 40%. Standard for personal injury mass tort. And then the authorization to release medical records. You'll see your husband's name, your authorization to get to exercise this request for medical records, and his last four of his social. When you're done signing, you'll hit a yellow finish button. Let me know that you've hit that button, and that'll be my cue to do the final step here with me.
You're done signing.
You're all done signing? Okay, bear with me here.
That's what it says.
Thank you. I'm going to send you a text message from my personal phone number from the office line. One moment. This is my direct number, too. Okay, so now if you could go back to your text message and see my message.
Okay.
John Maurer, case intake specialist. That's my direct phone number, area code 949-274-7510. That's my email address, John.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, I know you're a time restraint, but when you have a chance, go back and add me to your contacts. This final text message, be on the lookout for a call from the law firm Pulaski Kirker.
Okay.
Kirker is the firm that wants to speak to you. They are a very reputable, national, prestigious law firm, experienced litigating against billion-dollar clients.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations. So you're in really good hands, or you're about to, I should say, because you're technically not their client until they actually speak to you. Just in case, their phone number is. Okay. Okay, now, I just sent you a text. Just a reminder, be on the lookout for a call from the law firm Pulaski Kirker. And I gave you their phone number. So if you don't hear from them in 2 weeks, you're welcome to reach out to them. Or you can call me specifically, either one. I'm here on standby,
okay.
Just in case. Christina, I thank you for letting me get you signed up. I know these are unfortunate circumstances that brought us together, the very fact that your husband had passed and had used Roundup and was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I regret that those circumstances, but I am pleased to let you know you're about to get legal representation from this very good law firm. I know you're about to go to that that support group. Is there any questions I can answer for you?
No, I think you've pretty much answered them all.
And I'm on standby. If you have any questions, any concerns, feel free to reach out to me. You've got my contact information.
Yes.
If no other questions, I want to wish you a good evening. Thoughts and prayers to you and your family. I know this is hard. I can actually sense it in your voice. It's so
Thank
early.
You.
It's so difficult. I know. He must have been a wonderful man. I can tell you're a wonderful person already as a nurse. When my dad had cancer, and he passed as well, we were very fortunate to have my brother's wife is a nurse, and then my brother's, another brother's mother-in-law was a nurse. And I can't tell you, having a nurse, somebody in that one, for one, in that occupation, you're a caring person, number one. Number two is that it's so helpful to have that person with a medical background to kind of help a lay person like us, you know, understand what are the doctors even saying, you know? So
right.
You were a wonderful advocate, I can tell. So I can just tell you're a wonderful person. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good evening, okay? And a good
thank
rest
you.
Of the week. You're welcome. You take care. Bye, Christina. Bye for now.